It's better if we're seated. If we're not, I'm gonna get in trouble with the with the staff from FOSDEM. And there's plenty of space, so it's good. Our next speaker is gonna tell you how we manage crashes in Firefox, probably. Enjoy.
Hello all, I'm Giancarlo. I'm a local, I live a little bit outside of Belgium. And I manage the OS integration team in Firefox. And today I'll be talking to you about your probably least favorite Firefox feature, and that's what happens if you have a crash. I'll skip through the agenda because we're a bit short on time. Straight to definitions. What's crash rate? Say there's 100 people in the room. Alex here in the first room has his Firefox crash 5 times. We say, okay, there's a 5% crash rate today. The other metric we use is crash incidents. Say Alex and Sylvestre, they both have their Firefox crash 3 times. So we say we have a crash incidence of 2%, because that's 2 that had a crash. Which one of those is more important? It's a bit arguable, but for various reasons, some of which will become clear during the talk, most of my data here is going to be about crash incidents, and that's the number we track most closely. What can cause Firefox to crash? Well, the first and most obvious one is just Firefox bugs, programming errors. That's probably what you thought this talk was going to be about, but plot twist, it's largely not. It's about other causes. An important reason for Firefox crashes is running out of memory. The browser has to execute the JavaScript on the web page and do whatever the web page says, so it's somewhat limited in its freedom, and this can cause it to run out of memory. There's various machine configurations which can make this worse, like running on a 32-bit OS. And the last category we have are hardware problems, and I use quotation marks because I see this very broadly. I'm not talking only about bad memory or overclocked machines, but also, for example, like a Windows installation that has had 3 different antivirus products and a bunch of rootkits and malware on it. From my perspective, these are all hardware problems. So who is crashing and why? We wanted to dive a bit deeper to see how those 3 categories are divided among our users. And one of the most interesting ones I wanted to look at was like what percentage of our failures are hardware related. So one way we thought about this is we know the crash rate goes up as the machines age. So it was a bit of a question, can we estimate the age of a machine? I think probably the most reliable thing we can get access to is the BIOS date, if it's accessible. But we currently don't collect such telemetry, and I didn't have it historically, so it wasn't really useful. But what we do have is the exact CPU model. Now, if you look at the release cadence of the CPUs, you see that Intel, for example, has a fairly good cadence with like most CPUs only on sale for a 2-year window. For AMD, it's slightly larger. And we say, okay, we just estimate that the machine was made in the middle of this window, which gives us about 1-year accuracy for the machine age. That's obviously a rough estimate, but it's good enough for what I'm going to show you. And what we can do is we can take a certain set of hardware, say Windows release, a machine with 8 gigabytes of memory, and plot the crash rate over time. And this gives us some idea of like how the crash rate evolves over time. And then we need a baseline, which is the amount of failures that are actually caused by software problems. This we can't really know, but again, I made an assumption that a machine from 1 to 3 years old, so not an entirely new one, never crashes due to hardware problems. So that's obviously going to be overestimating our own crash rate, but it's fine, because what I really want to get to is this graph. The black line, it's the overall crash rate. You could sort of see the bathtub curve, as they say. So the new machines do actually crash a little bit more, and then it starts going up as the machines get very old. Don't read anything into this graph that's not there. Like you see, suddenly, in terms of user distribution, there's a few gaps here, but that's because of the CPU bucketing I just explained. The most interesting part for me is this. So this blue line is like our estimate for hardware failures, out of memory problems. Also goes up if the machines get older, because older machines have less memory. But about here, we are at 0.3% crash incidence, which is what we estimate our own software failure level to be. But the total crash level at around 6 years of age also starts to go above 0.6. So what this means that if we get a crash from a machine that's 6 years old, it is as likely to be a crash from a cause external to Firefox. And if you now look at the same graph, there's actually a pretty long tail here of our user base that are on such old hardware. And this confirmed something we had been seeing for a while, is that if a new crash arrives from the field and we put an engineer to look at it, sometimes they spend 1 or 2 days really digging into the crash, and they come back and they say, I don't understand what's happening. This crash is impossible. And now we sort of know why, that this started to be more important to filter out those issues, because we cannot fix those, really. How do we get to learn about crashes? We have both crash reports and telemetry. If the main process crashes, like all of Firefox shuts down, which is a bit the worst case, you get this window, which is an external program we recently rewrote in Rust to have modern translation support, high DPI, like this century, basically. If you get this dialogue, we see about 70% of our users replying positively, so submitting the crash report. If a tab crashes, but Firefox itself stays running, you see this in your tab. This report is done by Firefox itself. And here we see already there's quite a drop, only about 30% of the people who get this submitted. I presume the rest just closes it quickly and goes on working. And then the final category is a utility process crash. I think if you saw Alexandra's talk, you have some idea that there's a lot of utility processes in Firefox. And these are invisible crashes. Now I'm going to see if I can make the invisible crashes visible. Yeah. So did you notice it? It's pretty subtle, yeah. So if I didn't tell you this, you might have just thought this was like a network glitch, but this was actually Firefox's entire data decoding stack crashing and immediately restarting. We see basically nobody submits these kind of crashes, and that's sort of obvious because... Okay, I lost my clicker.
No, you have to focus on the video.
Is that it? Yeah. If we would report such a crash, it would be rather confusing because it might have been something that happened in the background, and suddenly you have this pop-up asking you to submit data. It wouldn't make any sense. It might be more annoying than the crash itself, which just looked like a small network glitch. So like from a UX perspective, we've never tried to surface those, which is why we don't get reports for them. So how do we get to 0.1%? Some people, and I love you all, have this very deeply hidden setting enabled, which automatically sends all crash reports. So we do get to know about some of these. But it's a bit of an issue, like 0.1% is not enough to decode. I gave an example, all the media decoding or GPU. So how do we deal with those? So a crash report is basically a capture of the process's memory state. You can add your URL or any comments, but the memory of your process might have passwords or other private information in it, so we can only collect those if you explicitly agree to it. But we do also have telemetry, and what we can do with telemetry is add to the telemetry ping, basically saying, okay, this Firefox has had a crash, and it was in this Firefox function with this call stack, which doesn't really tell anyone anything, because I hope most Firefox functions have more than one user using them. And it's not perfect for debugging, because it only tells you where we crashed, but often it's already quite something to go on. It's better than nothing, for sure. Now, a bit of history. This is a graph of Firefox crash rates over crash incidences over the last 2 years. There's a very, very, very big spike. This is called Foxduck. You can Google it. We did a postmortem on it. This is an interesting one. Somebody asked me about this, I think somewhere in 2022, in October or November. We had the biggest ever hit of solar gamma radiation on Earth, like 50 times bigger than ever before. And they asked me, can you see this in Firefox crashes? I was like, yeah, I can see it. And then I looked into what the crashes were, and like a major Windows antivirus vendor released an update on the same day. So unfortunately, I have to conclude that galactic death rays have nothing on Windows antivirus software. And there was a little bit of a dip here. We shipped a new crash reporter. We didn't get it right first time, but we fixed it. Okay, what are we working on right now? The new crash reporter GUI, already talked about that. We can detect some instances of hardware issues. If a crash doesn't make sense, but flipping a single bit would make it make sense, we tag those crashes, because it's an indication it could be hardware. If we crash with an access violation read, but the instruction was a write, we also tag that, because that's completely impossible. We changed our telemetry work on a new backend. Basically, this means we support it on Android as well. And there's a nice new dashboard if you want to look at it, which is public. And in the future, not only the GUI, but also the backend in the crash reporter. Right now, it runs in the same process that has just crashed, which can be rather interesting if that process has scribbled all over memory, and sometimes you don't manage to recover from this. So this is moving out of process. We're going to try, this is a bit of a gamble, if we, the moment we show the crash report dialog, where we can do a quick memory test and maybe detect some more machines that are seriously broken so we don't waste our time analyzing those. This should land this week, next week, so we'll see if it works. And remote crash collection, I'll show this because it's a bit more illustrative. So in case we see from telemetry that people are crashing, but nobody has actually sent in a crash report, we want to prompt like a small number of users a bit more explicitly if they want to send in that crash report. And then hopefully we can investigate it better. I hope we can even expand this to like literally include the bug you're seeing, which I think would alleviate like the concerns that this is maybe a phishing site or something weird that's going on. And I hope if we do it this way that also people will submit those crashes and we can debug them. All right, that was all. Thank you for crashing. And
So I really think the key takeaway is please submit your crashes.
Yeah.
They don't have enough work, they want more. Do we have questions?
I crash every day.
Great, from my perspective.
Have you seen a substantial decrease in number of crash when you introduced Rust into the Mozilla overall?
I would say those kind of things. I can actually maybe go back to the graph because I skipped over a lot of details here. So this looks kind of flat, but it's only because this spike was so ludicrously huge. But you can see it's actually a very spiky signal. A lot of these are like third-party vendors or third-party software that does broken updates and messes with Firefox. Here it starts going down. That's not so much because of Rust, but we did a lot of work on like improving out-of-memory situations. Here it went down again because we moved Windows 7 to ESR, so the ESR is not in this data. And here it starts going up again very slightly because a lot of Linux distros switched to Wayland, and the Wayland ecosystem is not as mature as everything else. But from the rest, I mean, Rust would be so gradual that I wouldn't be able to visualize it here.
Yes.
We actually make some benefit of Rust in our crash reporting tooling because we have like some updates which catch every error condition in the crash reporting and then surfaces to us to like close a few black holes we have. And for that, Rust was incredibly useful because it's very hard to skip on the error handling.
A question about privacy. Is it safe to send crash report? Is it safe to send crash report when Firefox crashed when I was filing the bank form or government form?
That's the reason why we have this distinction between the crash reports and the crash telemetry. The reports do contain like a dump of your memory, so there could be confidential data in there. Within Mozilla, that's extremely restricted. Like you need to take an actual course before you can get access to that data. But if you opt into sending the crash report, you do send that data to us. So there's a bit of a decision for you whether you're okay sharing that or not. Although I can only confirm that like we do apply the highest standards for that kind of data, and that's definitely not publicly accessible. Whereas the telemetry is, because that's just like a stack of Firefox functions.
Can you say how many people have access to the crash, to the core dumps? Not so many, right?
Not so many, no. I would guess at least 50 people or something, 100.
Yeah. Yeah, and something that the process is complicated to get access to. Okay, other questions? No. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
15 minutes was doable. So thank you for joining the Mozilla.